Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Smart Biz Network. I'm your host, Cynthia Pooler, and the Smart Biz Network is brought to you by NewEarth.com. Enhance your health as you increase your wealth. Go to the website teamnewearth.com/227662/home. My guest today is Leanne Hoagland Smith, and Leanne is in business for sales coaching the people and problem solver. So, Leanne, how are you today?
I am fine, Cynthia, and thank you for having me on your broadcast.
Thank you so much. So, give us a little overview of what you do.
What I do is essentially separate the symptoms from the problems. And so that's why I look at the problems in business only being two, people or process. And for entrepreneurs, especially small business owners, my goal is to create a forward-thinking sales culture where everyone is rowing in the same direction towards developing additional revenue and customer loyalty.
Well, so many businesses going to different parts of the world. How much within the past 15 or 20 years, how much has small businesses grown?
I think the number of small businesses is probably, you know, exponential growth. My sense is that exponential growth is not necessarily in sales. We consistently see the number of failed small businesses, the entrepreneurs who've taken that risk, and they've not been successful. The longevity is what is really interesting. You know, are you in business 3 years, 5 years? If you can get past that five-year threshold, it sounds like you're going to be here for a while. Unfortunately, too many businesses crash and burn before they're 5 years old.
So if they crash and burn, they're not really successful. So what are the top three barriers that prevent success for entrepreneurs?
I think there's basically three. I'm a big fan of the number three. There's no planning going on. And what I mean by that is General Eisenhower said plans are worthless, planning is everything. From my experience, talking, engaging, working with clients, the supermajority of small business, mid-sized business owners, and sales professionals have no written strategic plan. Strategy is about thinking and then planning how to defeat the enemy, your competition, the marketplace, the barriers to sales success. Without any reflection, you know, these enterprising entrepreneurs, these risk takers are kind of engaged in what I call the role of Captain Wingett. They're spraying their actions all over the place and then praying something sticks. So, again, the first obstacle is no planning. The second barrier is marketing. It's no marketing to poor marketing. Peter Drucker, and I'm a huge Peter Drucker fan, said business has two essential functions, marketing and innovation. Everything else is operations. And just as you talked about the global world earlier, in today's world, we're marketing globally. And poor marketing today is really no marketing. A lot of people make efforts in marketing and they get no, and they realize no success. So they're not attracting the attention. They're not building the relationships. And you know, people think marketing is advertising. Advertising is a channel of marketing. And your marketing message comes from that strategic planning process. It may require updating. What I say today is not what I said 15 years ago because my customers have changed And I've innovated and changed as my customers in the marketplace changed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the third barrier is no clarity. And that is an outcome of no planning and no marketing. There's research mm-hmm. from Sirius Decision as well as Gartner recently that came out that said only 1 in 3 salespeople can clearly articulate the value their solutions provide. And what that means is when you're talking to someone, they're not making the connection as to, okay, what's in it for me if I talk to you further, if I actually think about buying your solution.
Now, what you said a few minutes ago is very interesting about knowing your customer. People change. Nothing is in a vacuum. So to be successful, you have to have your pulse on your customers and how they're changing. Would that be correct?
That's absolutely correct.
Okay.
And it would really help when I work with clients to together that ideal customer profile. What are the demographics for your ideal customer? What are the psychographics, the reasons why they purchase from you? And have that. And you may have more than one. I mean, I have 3 ideal customer profiles because that gives you additional clarity of what that person may be seeking and how your solutions may better connect with their value drivers.
So sales are critical to business success. What does an entrepreneur need to know to increase their sales?
I think the ability to increase sales begins with a cohesive and emotionally compelling marketing message. People buy on emotions justified by logic. My sense is too many entrepreneurs have drunk their own Kool-Aid and they fail to understand the value of their solutions. They see it with absolute clarity, but their potential customer doesn't see it. And this is, I think, part of the reason why education-based marketing has become much more popular, more prevalent, compared to the old traditional product or solution-based marketing. I think also there is the sales cycle has changed. And a lot of them may not know what the sales cycle is because they haven't tracked their numbers. But there's more and more research that has come out that the majority of the sales decisions are made after the third contact, somewhere between 80 to 90%. However, even when I've surveyed my own clients or when I've done webinars, seminars, I can say nearly 80% of salespeople stop after the third contact. There's a lack of patience. They're in a hurry. They want that sale, okay, after 3 calls they're not interested. It takes time to build a relationship. And funny, I just read something this morning in McKenzie that talks about how the sales funnel is changing. And I observed this a while ago through education-based marketing, content marketing, is that the sales funnel is no longer a funnel. It's more like a web. And it's a sales and marketing combination web. Because you don't really know when you're engaged in content-based marketing, like LinkedIn Pulse, social media sites, when that ideal customer first noticed you, how long they've been following you. And so there is a restructuring of what that sales funnel now looks like.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned LinkedIn. Social media is, and technology is changing everything. Now, what social media sites do you use in your marketing efforts?
My first one is LinkedIn Pulse. With its introduction a couple years ago, this has become a primary social media site for me. I also have a fairly popular blog that's been recognized internationally on leadership and sales. Twitter is the social media channel I use to further my marketing reach. And then technology, you're able to use social media to connect with more tangible marketing vehicles, such as I write for several publications, Worldwide Coaching Magazine, it's on iTunes. I write for a printed publication out of Texas. It's called NBiz Magazine. It serves the Dallas, Houston, and San Antonio business markets. And then online, I have an online business column for the Post Tribune, Chicago Tribune, that I've been doing for nearly 10 years. So all of those work together to support my marketing efforts, basically through social media.
Now, how do you think social media has changed your marketing efforts?
One thing it's changed, it's reduced my cost of marketing because much of social media is free as far as making a cost purchase. It is time-consuming, and this is why it's critical to have a marketing calendar, a marketing schedule, to craft out some time every day. I spend in the morning, a half hour to 40 minutes just doing some social media marketing, capturing my key performance indicators of the last day, and then add another 20 minutes in there to write my blog. So it's about an hour every morning is I donate to social media. And then throughout the day, I'll pop into various sites, LinkedIn, Twitter, sometimes Facebook, and, you know, make comments. I'll read articles, and if necessary, I'll post the article. If I find it of value, I may comment on the article. A lot of that can be done, you know, from wherever you are, as long as you're connected to the internet. So it has changed my marketing from that way. And then what that has allowed me to do is to go to those face-to-face meetings and be a little bit more judicious about where I'm spending my time. I think many people, myself included, initially went every place. That wasn't wise. Your goal is, once you know who your ideal customer is, then it's imperative that you go to where your ideal customer goes and
now,
do your research. So if they belong to an association, maybe it makes sense to join a specific association or a council. Chambers of commerce for a lot of entrepreneurs are not really good for finding sales leads because the decision makers don't attend the events. They send their minions, which is good. But the minions aren't the decision makers. And so you may be redirecting your efforts and not getting a return on investment.
So we've talked a lot about, you know, what to do. So, Leanne, why don't you give our listening audience, why don't you talk about what you do and how it can help an entrepreneur?
Well, my role is to provide clarity. That's my number one goal. Because many people lack clarity. They lack clarity as to what they deliver to their customers outside of the actual solution. They lack clarity as to where they're going with their business in 3 to 5 years down the road. They lack clarity about themselves. What are their talents, their true talents? What areas do they need to improve upon? That is the role of an executive coach, business coach, or sales coach. The role is not to provide answers. But sometimes, working with small business owners, I then have to put on the other hat of a consultant and provide answers because, as some of the questions you've asked, they don't know what they don't know. They don't know about LinkedIn, and they don't have the ability to reach inside themselves to find those answers. So it is a combination of clarity, and it's also a combination of giving people the right tools they need to be successful. I do a lot of goal setting with clients. It's amazing how many people don't know how to consistently set their goals. And so it's called training because they are going to learn a new skill set, And then as we work together, we further develop that skill set. I give them a tool that they can write their goal down and work it out, plan it out. Yes, it can be changed, but at least it's on paper. And just from that simple action of writing a goal down, out, thinking it through, thinking about all the barriers that will prevent that person from being successful in achieving the goal, has incredible results. We are so busy today, we don't take time for reflection, and we live in kind of a fog. And when people are in a fog, sometimes they know they're in a fog and they'll reach for help, and other times they don't realize they're in the fog. So that's essentially what I do. So I work with small business owners, anywhere from $1 million to $70 million in sales, or sales professionals who want to take their performance to that next level. I also work, part of my practice involves working with parents of high school seniors, college freshmen, who want to avoid the six-year college plan. I have a boot camp, which is about self-leadership, that young people are not receiving in high school education or in their college education, because when they graduate from college and enter the workforce, I consistently hear from employers, some who are my clients, they're not prepared. And it's not because they don't know the area of their expertise. They just don't know how to interact with people. They're not good communicators. They're not good decision makers. They're not good team players. They don't necessarily come to work dressed appropriately. A lot of the common sense information that you and I received in our educational experiences is not present.
Would you say that was the fault of the teachers today?
I don't think it's really a fault. Because I'm a former public educator and I'm a former school board elected trustee. I think part of the reason is parents are so busy, they're presuming that's being learned in school. We also have placed our elderly in places outside of the home. You know, I had elderly relatives living with us on and off my whole childhood. And it's many cases our elders who really transmit the norms of the culture. It's not the parents. And they may reinforce it. But you remember the stories from Grandma and Grandpa about, and my grandparents on one side were farmers. They were Swedish immigrants. I'm a first-generation Swede in this country. So you hear these stories. So the norms, the cultures are being transmitted about hard work, about what it takes, about initiative. You know, my grandmother came to this country, and she brought her family and her husband, and she was the only one who spoke English because she had come to the country a couple times before. So, you know, it was not easy. And so you hear those stories, and I think that's an issue. And then you have politicians who, because of public opinion, mandate curriculum that's not necessarily good as far as learning how to work well together. Sometimes that curriculum becomes a distraction. I mean, we have young people going to college and they don't know how to do simple fractions. You know, but I learned fractions working with my grandmother in the kitchen, you know, using recipes. My father learned fractions by working out in the farm and looking at acres and all that. So it's that application.
It's funny because I'm involved in a community organization, and I was talking to one of the board of directors yesterday, and he has a project for volunteers to make phone calls to businesses in the city of Albany. Well, he told me something astounding. Because of technology, a lot of young people today don't even know how to mail a letter. I found that mind-boggling. But technology has changed society, you know, in many ways.
Oh, no disagreement. And some of those ways are not necessarily for the good. There is some good, but there's also some bad. It kind of goes back to physics. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. And it's just, if you looked at some of the communication, and it's the expectations. I think if we're going to look at some blame or why isn't this working, a lot of it's at the college level, the post-secondary level. We now have instructors who've never really worked in the private industry world. You know, and that, I think, makes a difference. I saw that back 20 years ago when I was in corporate and working, and my boss's son came into the business. And, you know, it was just unrealistic expectations. Best practices that they thought were best practices, the professor did, that were totally unrealistic. I saw that in my nephew when he graduated, and he had the expectation of being a manager in 3 years. He didn't understand about having to pay his dues. He thought that was unfair. So I think some of the fault or the misdirection is within that college experience. They're not getting real life experience. They may get an internship later on, but a lot of times those internships are just kind of gophers. And there is a lack of connection between what this role really is and what that intern is doing. You know, so it's not necessarily a positive experience for either party, whether it's the company or the student.
So, Leanne, if somebody who listens to this show is interested in contacting you, how would they do so?
The best way is by phone. I do answer my phone. It may go into voicemail if I'm working with someone, but I do respond usually within 8 hours, unless it's a weekend. 219-508-2859. That is Central Time. I'm just outside of Chicago, so I'm on Central Time. Again, 219-508-2859. And that number is also good for texting. I have learned to accept texts, something I've changed my behavior in the last several years. And the email address is sales@processspecialist.com. The two words of process and specialist.com, three S's in the middle. That's how you can reach out to me. I'm on LinkedIn, Leanne Hoagland Smith, and on Twitter, I'm @CoachLee. So those are probably the best ways to reach out to me.
Leanne, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the Smart Biz Network. I appreciate this, and I'm sure many people who will listen to this will also appreciate your expertise also. So you have been listening to Leanne Hoagland-Smith on the Smart Biz Network. This show has been brought to you by NewEarth.com. Enhance your health as you increase your wealth. TeamNewEarth.com/227-662-662/home. Follow us on Twitter or LinkedIn at the Smart Business Network. Thank you, Leanne, and maybe we'll talk again. I look forward to talking with you again. Have a great day, and thank you, everybody, for listening.
Thank you, Cynthia.